Embers, written by Winter, read by Crimson Moon. There is a ghost in Subs's house. He sees it in the corners sometimes, a fleeting image in his peripheral vision. Whether it's night or day or the pitch-black darkness of a sealed-off room, it's always there, always the same. Just a figure, a couple inches shorter than he is, dressed in something he can never quite make out, and with eyes he can never seem to catch, but that he always feels boring into his side, his back, straight through to his chest. It sits in the chairs in his dining room while he's cooking, hunched over, like it's studying papers, or maybe just the wood, tracing the grain to pass the time. He watches it sometimes. The muted colored thing that might be a human form that idles in the chair no one sits in. And he always gets the sense it's waiting. For what, he does not know. But it's often coupled by a tug on his heartstrings and the understanding he's meant to do a nebulous something. It's rare the feeling goes away before the figure disappears. But, on occasion, he's cooking the right meal. And when the flames of the stove go out with a little click, the ghost will perk up. And, invariably, something warm unfurls in his ribcage before he blinks and the room is empty again. It lays on top of the junk chest when he's sharpening his weapons, one knee bent and the other leg dangling over the edge. It's always tossing something between its hands. Sometimes it's a random stick or stone, sometimes an empty potion bottle or a stray stick of TNT he hasn't found a place for yet. Always something a little dangerous. Just risky enough for adrenaline to spike in his veins when its fingers almost slip. But it never drops them, and it never will. He knows that, somehow. On his bad days, it tosses a dagger. It sits on a low shelf in the enchanting room, settling into a perfectly wide gap in the books, and watches him as he works. When he's searching through pages in the book, whispering to himself, he sometimes hears a voice underneath his. Faint words he can't make out that fill the silence when he breathes. He'll look up from etching out the fine runes, and, through the glittering haze of lapis dust, he'll catch a flicker of violet eyes before they blink out and he convinces himself for another time that they were just a trick of the light. On occasion, he brings that sword with him. He always means to take it to the grindstone, to let the rough stone tear away the enchantments, let it scrape away the blood that's still stuck in the grooves of the name near the hilt. Make it just another diamond sword. Like that'd change anything. But the ghost is always small those days, curled up in its spot on the shelf and toying half-heartedly with a ring between its fingers. And he can't help but feel like he's overstepping his bounds. So, on his bad days, the ghost always seems to be lingering around the hooks hidden at the back of the storage room, where he hangs that sword like a memorial. It sits against the anvil beneath it, head leaned back almost far enough to be reminiscent of Zam's execution. Is it a taunt, he wonders? Is it meant to play the strings of his heart to just the right tune, to leave him a limp form with his back against the door as he stares apathetically at the piece on its face? Is he meant to feel so jealous of the serenity it seems to find from staring death unblinkingly in the eyes? He doesn't regret it. Not really. But he wonders, sometimes, if he should have done it. Because there's a ghost that lives in Subs's house now. But it's always been there, really. And it stands at the end of his bed as he's trying to fall asleep. It should be intimidating, but the only emotions he can find are the sharp pang of longing at the back of his heart, and the swooping void of grief that hollows out his chest. And he cannot find it within himself to sit up and shake the memories away. So, there is a ghost that watches Subs as he falls asleep, and there is a ghost that watches as he shaves the blood off his blades, and there is a ghost that watches him as he cooks meals for two in an empty house. There is a ghost whose name he knows he cannot bring himself to say, whose favorite spots he keeps clean and undisturbed, who he bakes pies for and leaves apple cider out for on cold nights. Those mugs are always cold in the morning, of course. Ghosts aren't real. and the one standing in front of him doesn't quite make eye contact with him before he blinks, and he is alone. The end. Thank you for listening.